Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Well, there's got to be hope because people 50 or 60 years ago did this relatively easily. We really lost our way.
Hey, what's with you?
You really want to know?
Of course I do. What kind of a father wouldn't care about a pig wearing a hat?
And I tell my audiences, look, I'm trying to help people find their way back home, back into a situation where we feel comfortable in our own homes. Our kids are comfortable in our homes.
It's so good to be home.
When we need parenting advice, we don't go to Dr. Joyce Brothers. We go to, you know, Grandma.
Set a spell. Take your shoes off. Y'all come back now. Here.
Psychologists have been saying for years that when it comes to parenting, kids learn more what is caught than is taught, and what better place to catch those great values than at home. And on today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns continues his conversation with psychologist and author John Roseman about keys to raising a well-behaved child. And here's a hint. It starts at home. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Grateful, as we all are, for your prayers and faithful financial support of the ministry. You can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. I encourage you to do so today. And now, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Continuing conversation today with John Roseman. We're talking about keys to raising well-behaved kids. Yes, it is possible. You know, the most obedient children are also the happiest children. And it's the one gift that any parent can afford to give his or her kids, and yet not always easy. John Roseman, in my opinion, is the expert when it comes to parenting children. He's America's most widely read parenting expert. His acclaimed parenting column has been syndicated in over 200 newspapers. He's the author of a dozen best-selling books, books like Ending the Homeward Castle, and his book right before this latest one we're going to talk about is called Parenting by the Book. He's appeared on numerous national television programs like 2020, The View, The Today Show, Good Morning America. And John and his wonderful wife, Willie, have been married for over 40 years. They live in North Carolina. Welcome back to the program, John. Always great to have you.
It's always great to be here.
Well, this is always a big day for me. I actually look so forward to getting to spend time with you and even enjoying the conversation that we have before and after.
Yeah, likewise.
The well-behaved child, discipline that really works. I bet you there's a lot of parents who would go into a bookstore, they'd pick up this book, The Well-Behaved Child, Discipline That Really Works, and they'd go, yeah, right, because they're not winning at this game right now.
Yeah, that's right.
And you have an answer that you actually think you can help kids move from being misbehaving kids to being more well-behaved, but it takes some pretty much discipline on the part of a parent.
Oh, it takes a tremendous amount of discipline on the part of the parent. But, you know, Jim, we've got to move away from believing that you can discipline children effectively by simply manipulating reward and punishment properly. And I keep, you know, the major theme, as you know, in the book is that parenting is leadership. Discipline, what we call discipline, which we associate with the manipulation or reward punishment, is really the process by which you disciple your child, that you turn your child into I call it in front of my audiences that you transform the little criminal, the toddler, into a pro-social human being who will look up to you, follow your lead, and subscribe to your values.
And you're saying there's hope for somebody who right now is not at the place where their kids are...
Well, there's got to be hope because people 50 or 60 years ago did this relatively easily. And we lost our way when we started listening to people like you and me tell us how to raise kids,
right.
You know, people with capital letters after
right.
their names,
right.
instead of our elders, the go-to
right.
people 50, 60 plus years ago,
right.
we really lost our way. And I tell my audiences, look, I'm trying to help people find their way back home, you know, back, you know, into a situation where we feel comfortable in our own homes, our kids are comfortable in our homes, that when we need parenting advice, we don't go to Dr. Joyce Brothers. We go to, you know, Grandma.
Right. And Grandma, yeah. What you're saying is Grandma did a better job than,
absolutely.
Than we used to think.
Absolutely.
Sometimes some of us rebelled against Grandma. What you're talking about discipline and leadership and discipleship of your kids, and yet you have something called the Jeremiah Principle that basically says proper discipline does not guarantee proper behavior. If I do proper discipline, I want proper behavior. Doesn't always happen that way.
But people used to understand, Jim, that was not necessarily a cause and effect relationship. And the reason I call it the Jeremiah Principle is that twice in the book of Jeremiah, through his prophet, God laments that no matter what he does, his chosen people, the Hebrews, will not accept his discipline. They will not even pay attention to him. And I jokingly say in the book, they've got attention deficit disorder and oppositional defiant disorder, which in fact is sort of the natural state of human sinfulness, you know. And we now think this is all biochemical in nature. But yeah, you can, and we all know this. We've all seen kids come from wonderful families who made very bad decisions as adults and trashed their lives. And we've seen kids come from horrible family circumstances who made a splendid job of turning lemons into lemonade.
Yeah, well, that's a great remark. Now, what do you see as some of the more common behavior issues that parents have asked you about over the years? Now, give us some examples on what that is and what you would tell them when they ask you.
Probably the biggie is sibling conflict. You know, the disruptiveness that takes place in many an American family between siblings. And the first thing that I point out to parents when I'm talking about that is there is a difference between sibling conflict and sibling rivalry. Sibling conflict, a certain amount of it is inevitable, just like you're going to have marital conflict. In any intimate relationship, you're going to have some conflict. What turns sibling conflict into sibling rivalry is parental intervention, well-intentioned intervention, for the purpose of mediating the conflict, helping the kids get along, and so on and so forth, all this well-intentioned stuff. And suddenly what happens is one child gets turned into the villain and one child gets turned into the victim by the parent. And now the children are not just struggling to one-up each other. They are struggling to win the coveted victim award. Because when that award is handed from parent to child, the child who receives it, ironically, the victim award is the winner. You know,
you know. I'm laughing because I'm thinking of one of my daughters that loves
and the
that
parent
award.
Says, you know, Billy, you shouldn't have done that to your sister. Yeah. You need to apologize, you know. Right. And now what you have is Billy's resentful and he's going to try and get back at his sister. And his sister is gloating and she's going to try and set the same situation up again. So that Billy will become the victim again, and this becomes a perpetual motion
machine. But don't you get mom? I mean, I get moms all the time coming to me and saying, "I'm just so hurt because my kids don't get along," and you know, on and on. So she's hurt, and I'm sure the dad is too. But usually, it's the mom who's voicing it. And what do you say to them? I mean, how do you help siblings sort of work it out? Do you tell mom to go to another room and put the kids in one room, or how do you do it?
Well, mom is hurt because she takes all this stuff personally. I mean, we're getting into a whole different area here.
Right.
But, you know, the modern American mother, when her child misbehaves, she personalizes it. You know, her child is not just misbehaving. Her child's misbehavior is a reflection of some inadequacy in her, which interferes with her ability to discipline her child properly in that situation. So, you know, they come to me concerning sibling conflict or rivalry now. They come to me and say, well, I want my kids to get along. And I go, well, then you need to put them in the same boat. And you need to manage the situation such that they have to learn how to paddle in the same direction. And the way that I do that, you know, I was talking to a mother a couple of days ago about this. I said, just every time their conflict disturbs your peace, you simply call out, you're really bothering me. That's number one, the first time of the day. The second time, you're really bothering me. That's number two. And the third time it happens, you confine them both to their room for the rest of the day and put them to bed immediately after dinner. And suddenly what happens is when you do that consistently, now the kids have to learn how to control their conflict so as to keep you from getting involved. their goal becomes don't get mom involved, whereas before it was let's get mom involved. You know,
they were going to get points.
Yeah,
if mom
right.
got involved.
The victim award right. was going to go to somebody.
When we come back, and we've got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk more then about this issue of moms, especially, but even dads too, taking on the burden. And how do they learn how to release that? We'll be right back. We're talking about The Well-Behaved Child. It's the book. John Roseman wrote it. Discipline That Really Works. And what a privilege again to have him on it. Roger's going to tell you right now about that book. And here in studio today, Kaylee Marsh, the beautiful daughter of Roger Marsh. Also the voice of American Idol. So those of you who are listening to American Idol, you hear Roger every American Idol pushing those products and things. It's great to hear you, Roger, on the American Idol deal and all these other Fox things. You know, I'm all proud. I don't even watch the shows, but I listen to you do your thing.
Well, you know, you and I have something in common there, Jim, when it comes to Fox programming, but it's a pleasure to be a part of that and have been for many years. And who knew that I'd have a daughter who would be a John Roseman groupie? But anyway, grateful to have John Roseman in studio with us today as we're talking about keys to raising a well-being child. The book that John has written, one of many outstanding books by John Roseman. This one's called The Well-Behaved Child, and you'll find information on that book when you go to homeward.com and just follow the prompts through all the bio information about John Roseman. It's available wherever Christian books are sold, either in brick and mortar stores and also online, as are the books of Dr. Jim Burns. And if you're looking for some parenting resources that Jim has written, I think of Teenology as a good complement to John Roseman's book, The Well-Behaved Child. Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers by Dr. Jim Burns, kind of his tour de force after 30-something years of youth ministry and watching all the different changes in the youth culture. Jim's got some great practical wisdom for you if you've got teens or preteens in your home. If you'd like to order a copy of Jim's book, Teenology, go to homeward.com. That's home, W-O-R-D.com.
I can't believe this.
What's going on?
Somebody ate all the ice cream.
Well, it looks like we still have some cookies.
Cookies? I don't want to get jacked up on sugar. Actually, I'm really tired. I'm going to go take a nap.
Okay.
I'm smiling right now because I'm really feeling for that dad. I know what an emotional roller coaster it can be to have teenagers in your home. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. During the teen years, your kids truly value your presence and your involvement in their lives. That's especially true when the intensity of their passions is on overload. Sometimes your kids might act out in ways that are not appropriate, and you'll need to be there with fair but firm discipline. Other times, your kids are just going to act weird, and they'll be counting on you to still be there for them when they return to normal. Stay connected to your kids and stay flexible. And for a copy of my free tip sheet for parents called The Power of Being There, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Boy, this time is going way too fast. John Roseman with us. We're talking about keys to raising well-behaved kids, as we've been talking about a great new book called The Well-Behaved Child, Discipline That Really Works. You know, I tell people read one, at least one parenting book a year, read one marriage book a year. I'm going to suggest that this be your parenting book. What a privilege to have John Roseman with us. John, one of the things you talk about, we're talking about it during the break, is that, and we've mentioned this and in the last broadcast and now again, we're talking about sibling rivalry, but a lot of times it's the mom or the dad who feel so much pain. I want to give you an illustration. A mom comes to me and says, I am dying because my kid isn't getting good grades, and I'm actually really afraid that she could flunk out if I take this idea that the ending the homework hassle that if I don't do the homework. And the other thing is that, you know, they're now not going to church and I want them to be going to church, and, you know, I'm just such a failure. Focusing on her kids, she's saying she's a failure. What do you say to that, Mom?
Well, you know, Jim, there's a lot of issues involved there. First of all, the over-attention that's being paid the child. One of the unfortunate givens, almost, of the modern American family is that the marriage has receded into the background and has been replaced by all of this concern, all of this attention, and all of this child-oriented doing and activity on the part of the parents. There's another facet, and that's the Freudian component, you know, that, and I illustrate that by saying, you know, if you go see a mental health professional, a psychologist, whatever, about a personal problem that you're having, within 15 minutes, this professional has got you talking about your childhood, reinforcing this really ludicrous idea that the child is nothing but a product of his parents' behavior, and that parenting produces the child. And the fact of the matter is that parenting is an influence. It's a very, very strong influence when the child is young. It's a much, and it wanes from the time the child is 4 or 5 years old until he's a teenager. And that's why traditional cultures felt that it was so vital that by the time the child was 13 years old, he was a fully responsible, contributing member of the community. And that's why in traditional cultures, these rituals were held, like the Jewish bar mitzvah, which is a prime example, that really brought closure on what I call the decade of discipline, which is from 3 to 13, and celebrated the fact that now the child was a disciplined, responsible human being, no longer needed his parents to play the role of disciplinarians in his life, and that he was a self-governing human being. And we're no longer accomplishing that in America. It's one of the huge tragedies of what I call postmodern psychological parenting, that by uprooting ourselves from the advice and guidance of our elders, we've really uprooted ourselves in many, many ways from the outcomes that people used to easily attain in parenting when they relied upon the advice of their elders.
You know, it's fascinating you say that. Homeward is spending much more time with Azusa Pacific University. We've got the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific. And I was talking with the president of Azusa Pacific, John Wallace, and he was telling me the incredible amount of parents who call professors and say, you know, Johnny doesn't deserve a C. Mm-hmm. And I said, did that happen years ago? And he said, you know what? I don't think it happened even 10 years ago. He said, today it's a daily call. Somebody's going to get a call, you know, on something like that. So the in some ways, the culture has changed.
And I've written about that in my newspaper column, and I've said what this indicates is that people don't know how to stop being parents. You know, that their children are 24, 25 years old, and they're calling the university professor in their graduate studies program, or they're calling the Wall Street Journal. Jim did an article on this a couple of years ago about parents who are interfering in the workplace, calling their kids' supervisors. These are kids 26, 27 years old, you know, complaining about how the child is being treated. The child, you know, with an emphasis on that, is being treated in the workplace. And these are people, going back to this thing about that I said earlier about the marriage just kind of disappearing in all this melee of child rearing. These are people who can't stop being parents and can't begin to put their energies back into their marriage.
Right. Isn't that interesting?
Number one.
Yeah. And, you know, I often say when I did a marriage conference last weekend and I was talking about our priorities should be God, our marriage, then our children, then our vocation. And yet I'll say, how many of you have a child-focused marriage? And almost all of them put their hands up and then look at each other. Mm-hmm. They know it's not right, but they still do it.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. You know, John, you've had kind of a spiritual journey that's been interesting. I've followed you and read your columns and read your books for years. But it seems that in the last so many years, there's been an intensity toward more of a spiritual awakening in your life. Talk about that.
Well, I had a spiritual awakening in my life about 10 years ago. I was a guy who was in a great state of energetic denial about my need for a savior in my life, a relationship with Christ. And I kept Christ at arm's length by reading a lot of books on the historical Jesus and so on and so forth. And one day I was in a bookstore and God put Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, into my hand. And I read it and it transformed my heart. And, you know, I've met Lee here in
yeah,
your studio.
That's right.
And it was one of the most touching experiences of my life to be able to tell him what a tremendously powerful impact his book had had in my life. And, you know, I tell people that before this time, I had heard people, you know, use the term being called. And I thought, you know, from my psychological background, these people were having auditory hallucinations, you know. And then, lo and behold, I began to feel like I was being called, you know, to help parents understand what the Bible is saying about raising children, how this is timelessly valuable advice, and that we ought to get rid of all this psychobabble that's accumulated around parenting over the last 40 years and get back to the basics, get back to the word.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? It's yeah. a great story,
well,
your
thanks.
Transformation, and it's fascinating that so much of what you say and even said before actually really does come out of some of these truths of the Bible. You look through the Proverbs, you look through various things, and it's fascinating. The Bible is not a parenting book, but the Bible sure has a lot to say about relationships and leadership and authority and
yeah.
discipleship and discipline and all these kinds of things.
But if you're a parent and you're looking for consolation, you're looking for advice, you're looking for direction, you open the Bible, and one of the miracles of the book is it becomes a parenting book in
right.
your hands.
Right.
You know, if you're looking for marital advice, it becomes a marriage manual in your
yeah.
hands.
Well, so. You're really right. And yeah. I was talking with our pastor who gave a great message on Sunday, and I had coffee with him yesterday, and I said, you know, you spoke right to me. And I said, people have said that to me, and I always wonder why, but it wasn't, your topic was not, you know, what I was looking for per se when I came in, but the topic touched me because God used your topic to really
right.
stir my heart. I think that happens when we do look at these kinds of things. If somebody is struggling like crazy, and their kids are in crisis, and their marriage is in crisis, what do you say to them?
Well, the number one thing is that people need to begin putting priorities. You know, before you can properly disciple a child, priorities have to be set right in the family, and the strongest relationship has to be between husband and wife. That's key to everything. If you don't get that priority in order, then it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be an uphill slog the whole way. It's interesting in that regard, Jim. I do an exercise in small groups where I have people fill in these two blanks. I say, in the last week, in the time I spent in my family, I spent blank percent of time in the role of husband or wife and blank percent of time in the role of mother or father. And then I go around the room and I just sample people's numbers. And it's very revealing because the average is always 90% or thereabout mother, father, 10% husband and wife. And I'll look at the audience and I'll say, this is the problem in American parenting. You cannot violate so fundamental a biblical principle as Genesis 2:24, they shall become one flesh, and think it's going to be easy from that point on.
Great input. Listen, time has gone by so fast. I appreciate so much your comments.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with John Roseman here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been discussing keys to raising a well-behaved child and how important it is for us to rear our children, not just kind of pacify and placate them. John Roseman, the author of so many great books on parenting, and Jim Burns recommends all of them. The latest is The Well-Behaved Child, and you can learn more about that book when you visit our online resource center at homeward.com. Browse there a while you visit if you haven't been there recently, or if you're an audio stream person and you just kind of click over for the audio programming that we provide there. Make sure that you also spend some time browsing our website. You'll find a lot of different resources that are helpful, including a new set of tip sheets that we have created recently. Our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company, have partnered with us in helping us to talk about stewardship, to talk about a conversation that we as parents need to have with our kids. And Jim, we're very excited to be offering these resources to parents.
Well, you're right, Roger. I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. great new tip sheets.
And we are grateful, as always, to our friends at Steadfast Companies, that leading real estate investment trust company, who have partnered with us to create these new tip sheets on helping our kids learn the biblical model for spending and saving and investing and giving. And when you go to homeward.com, hit the Articles and Media tab, and then there's a search function that says Get Answers. You type in Steadfast, STEADFAST, and hit the Go button. It'll take you right to these new tip sheets that you can use. Husband and wife, mom and dad can talk about money with themselves, of course, and then these principles that are biblically based, and you can teach them to your kids so that the money conversation becomes more purposeful, becomes more intentional, more of an act of worship and stewardship like it's intended to be. You'll find that at homeward.com, keyword Steadfast. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.